Hey, and welcome to a special edition of Connectivity, where we're going to talk all about Super Mario 3D World, which, by the time you're hearing this, our review will be, or at least our first of three reviews will be up on the website. The way this is going to all work out with Super Mario 3D World on NintendoWorldReport.com is that on Tuesday, November 19th, which is when this podcast will go live, we will have one review. I believe Justin Baker's is first up to the plate.
The best review.
The next day, it will be Don Koopman's review, and the day after that will be Andrew Brown's review. So if you want to hear about Super Mario 3D World, you're going to have three perspectives to hear, and a fourth, because I'm going to be talking about it in this podcast. But my review will be, I think, available Friday, ironically, but in Nintendo Force Magazine, as opposed to Nintendo World Report. So what we're going to do with this special segment of Connectivity coming to you during the week before the telethon, which is happening this Saturday. So if you want to, you know, donate to Child's Play, the sick kids, et cetera, et cetera, you can do that still. November 23rd.
There should also sometime this week, there should also be a SteamWorld Dig interview. So
yeah, we're going to have a whole bunch of stuff, up on Connectivity and the website and everything. But how we're going to do this specific Super Mario 3D World segment that you're listening to right now is we're going to talk for about 15 minutes or so. I'll clearly mark it. We're going to talk more general about the game, and then we're going to go into a little more spoiler stuff, although we're still a little limited in what we can say about the end game stuff, but if you watch Nintendo Directs, then you already know what most of that shit is anyway. I'm going to introduce the panel here. I'm Neil Ronahan. With me, I've got Andrew Brown in Australia.
Woohoo!
Don Koopman in Europe.
You don't even say the country. That's very nice of you.
And Justin Baker in America.
Hello!
All right, yeah. So Super Mario 3D World. It's the new Wii U hotness, if you will. Mm-hmm. Andrew, what are your thoughts, your general thoughts on 3D World after playing it?
It is so hot, as you said. Back when I was a kid and I was playing Super Nintendo, like Super Mario World and all the retro Mario games, and looking at the manual art of characters and enemies and things, I was thinking to myself as a kid, someday Mario games are going to match this artwork perfectly, and they're going to have all the physics and that made the series great. And I believe that this is the game that's come closest to actually achieving that.
I think you're right. I mean, just even, it's really cool seeing the stamps, which are an unlockable. Like, you have the three green stars that kind of, they take the place of the coins.
The star coins.
That you see in, like, the new Super Mario Brothers games and Super Mario 3D Land. And they went to green stars in this game, supposedly because they wanted to emulate the Galaxy games a little more and kind of bring that fusion more together. But they have those, and they also have stamps that you can find in each level. And those stamps give you like a Miiverse image that looks like it's like a nice little bit of concept art of like an enemy or a character or like, you know, Mario and a power-up and stuff like that. Those are all really cool, and I think they do kind of bring home that whole idea of, you know, this game is like the envisionment of that instruction manual art from 20 years ago.
This is the Mario that we've always wanted.
Yeah. I don't think I'd deny that at all. Don, how about your first impressions? Your first impressions after finishing the game.
My first impressions after finishing the game. Well, my first impressions are a bit different, but we'll get to that in a little bit. After finishing the game, I really liked it. I mean, I still have some problems with it, again, which you will get into later. But, it's a pretty solid game. I think it's one of the best Wii U games released this year. And it's not my favorite Mario game. I feel that title still holds to 3D Land.
I know you said you'll talk about it later, but fuck that. what are your issues with the game that make it, you know, not live up to its direct predecessor, which is 3D Land?
I feel like the first two worlds waste a little too much time.
That's kind of funny because I feel like 3D World's first eight or 3D Land's first eight worlds waste a whole lot of time.
The thing is with 3D Land is that there was so much intrigue about that first game, and I still find it very magical. And the first two worlds in 3D World I don't find are as magical as like Galaxy or 3D Land. And another problem I have is with the multiplayer. And I don't mean that the multiplayer is directly like bad or any fashion. I feel that aspects of the multiplayer aren't as well or correctly balanced as they probably should.
I think that Andrew and Justin are not in agreement with you on this, but I am, because my experience with the multiplayer is mainly that if you're not familiar, if you played Super Mario 3D Land and you play the game with like three other people that are familiar with Super Mario 3D Land and continually play video games that move in the 3D space, it'll probably be a good time. Every demo that I've played 3D World in, where I'm playing with, whether it's Andrew or Justin Berube or dudes from Nintendo, Jared, etc., I've had a blast. But when I got some friends together, I think one of them owns a Wii U, no one else does, and we played it, a lot of people got frustrated. They enjoyed watching me play the game, but they did not enjoy playing the game with me because, there's a specific language to 3D World that is something that's not like New Super Mario Brothers, where everybody and their mother has played a 2D Mario game before. They know how it works. Yeah. They know the language of that gameplay. Whereas in 3D World, it's just different enough that it's foreign to anybody who hasn't put in the time to play the game or play 3D Land.
And there are moments where the game specifically asks for multiplayer, while in other places it certainly doesn't. There are certain levels where I feel it's better to keep a good focus on yourself than on the other players. And I don't feel like having those multiplayer people around is really helping you in any fashion to progress, significantly forward.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think they have a good job of getting around some of that multiplayer stuff by you need to make sure you have three double cherry guys with you, or else you can't access this secret. And I always thought that was really cool. I like how they have that nice balance between, this would be way easier if you marched in here with four people. But if you're playing single player, you can still do this. It's just a little harder.
But yeah, but there are really specific moments where it just then also feels empty in single player. So there are specific moments where the game doesn't feel quite right. But for the rest, I had a joy of it. I mean, the level designs are really insanely strong.
Yeah. No, I mean, I do really love the design of the game, and I think it's boundlessly creative. And on that positive note, Justin, after playing the game, what were your takeaway? What was your takeaway on 3D World?
Well, I will quote myself from my own review and say that
that seems a little presumptuous.
I've not been in love with a Mario game like this since Super Mario World, and it was fantastic. And multiplayer, what I loved about it was the versatility of it. Now I put the multiplayer in three different camps, and this is the three different ways that I played multiplayer. One is me and three other people just sat down and started going, and it was insane. I mean, you're not going to get a lot done, and it is frantic, but I feel like that's an important part of the multiplayer. We're just sitting down and have a good time, and it was insane, and it was crazy, and it was super fun. And then whenever I sit down and just do kind of a co-op situation with one other player, and we're really kind of trying to get through the levels and work together and get all the unlockables, it's kind of a different play style altogether. It's what you're sitting down to do. If you're just sitting down to have a good time, get through other people, you'll have fun. It's insane. It's an explosion of craziness and color and power-ups, and it's hard not to smile. I mean, no, you may not know every little thing that's going on, and half the time you're getting teleported across the screen, but it's just all part of the crazy mess that is, multiplayer. And then this is my favorite mode, and it's because I got to play this with my girlfriend, and she doesn't play games at all, just doesn't do it. They scare her, she doesn't like them. And she was able to sit down with the gamepad and play it, sort of similar to boost mode in Super Mario Brothers U, but without the blocks. So she's just able to sit down and help me out and touch enemies and blow Goombas out of the way and touch blocks and have a good time and participate, but in such a way that she's not, there's no pressure. She's just kind of playing it the same way you might play a phone game. And that was my that was what I wanted from Super Mario Bros. U, was a way for her to play with me without having to, properly play with
Justin,
me.
Justin, go back and play Galaxy 1 and 2 with her and give her a Wii Remote while you're playing.
You know, we did that. We did do Galaxy. She didn't, something about 3D World, she enjoys it a lot more. I think it's because 3D World, like, everything, nearly everything is interactable to her in some way. Like, either you can stun an enemy, she can hit question mark blocks, there's the purple blocks, she can blow on the gamepad and blow little Goombas out of the way. Like, it's so packed with content for someone who's just playing on the gamepad that you're never bored, you know?
Yeah.
So I think the versatility of the gameplay, of the multiplayer specifically, is what really made me fall in love with it. Like, if I just want to have a good, I mean, it's a great party game. It's a great, me and my friend are sitting down to get some real gameplay in. And it's a great, hey, I'm playing games and my girlfriend's bored on the couch. Here's a gamepad. Let's play together, you know? And, I mean, on top of that, like, my gosh, the game, it is so, the music is, this is probably my favorite music in a Mario game.
It's, I mean, it's so nice, especially when they have like that. I mean, there's a lot to compare, and I won't get too into it, because I feel like that might be an opportunity for another segment that might happen in a little more down the line. But there's a lot to compare between this game and Zelda Link Between Worlds, because they both have fucking amazing music, because they do remixes of these classic tunes in such a way that's just freaking beautiful.
It's big band, isn't it?
Yeah, that is a lot of what makes this game sing, I feel.
I mean, not every level had the most amazing score. A lot of them were just kind of more traditional Mario music, but every now and then I would play a level and I'm like, man, this... I'm not a music guy, but I was like, I was going back and replaying levels just for the music at times.
I will say that this is my favorite soundtrack of a Mario game to date. I think my most favorite tracks is where the one in the various boss battles that come in between worlds. That specific music part that was also in the second trailer. That's my favorite song of the entire game.
I like what is it? It's like the music that comes on whenever you're on a, what is it, Plessy?
Ah, yes.
Oh, the slide remix.
What's the name of that song?
That's the slide song.
Yeah, no, I love the remix of that comes up. And just a lot of, whenever you just hear like that, like the 3D Land theme, but come up with the fucking horns. Like, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
As far as for me with this game, it's just from the beginning, and I don't feel that the first two worlds lag at all. I mean, the first two worlds, I would say, are very, very easy. But I think that at first, like, as I was kind of like taking notes while I was playing the game, I made a note, like the third or fourth world. I'm like, I don't know, this is really easy. And then as I realize that I'm getting near the end of the game and like pulling my hair out as I'm like, where's the third green star? And God, this damn jump. Like, the game picks up challenge at a nice clip. I mean, it's still, if you're good at Mario games, guess what? You're going to beat this one without a lot of trouble. But getting everything, getting 100%, that's the challenge. And that's
With the first two worlds, I really had the idea that I could find very easily. But from the third world, I was really intrigued by every single bit that I saw. Oh, God, this is really cool. Oh, God, I'm missing something. Oh, God, what's going on here? Oh, look, a Mario Kart level.
Yeah. Yeah, playing through the first two worlds, I just played through most of this game with a big smile on my face for about, I would say, 90% of the time. It's delightful, fun, it's like every world, or at least especially early on, it's like every level is just like, oh, check out this cool mechanic. Oh, check out this one. Oh, we got another one right here. And then sometimes they don't even really build on it until like a couple worlds later. Like my favorite power-up throughout the entire game, I think. Well, I do love the cat suit, and that's just so much fun to bomb around in. I feel like the double cherry power-up changes the way I play Mario games, because I have to think about a lot more things. And that first level where they bring it up, you use it, and, it's kind of more like, oh, mess around with this cool thing. They give you hints of how to use it, how you'll use it more in-depthly later. But it's more just like, just have fun.
I'll agree with that. There's like the rows of coins that are like set up so that it introduces like the pouncing mechanic from midair. There's like low down brick blocks like conspicuously against walls that you would be like, oh, I think I need to slash those. Oh, here's a secret tunnel.
Yeah, and then with the double cherry power-up, like, there's a boss battle later on that you get the double cherry power-up during, mm-hmm. and it's so cool. Unfortunately, that's one of roughly three interesting boss battles out of, like, 10. because most of the boss battles are just that same bullshit of, like, it's like an enemy that, like, you saw on the level, but like, it hit it three times and it's dead. And, you know, visually, some of those are really cool, and as Don talked about, the music's kind of awesome, but... Like the Bowser car at the end of the first world, that's one of the best boss battles in the game, and the majority of them don't even come close to how great that boss battle is. And all of them are, oh, hit boom boom on the head three times. Oh, look, he's got like two shells near him now. It's just jump on his head.
I want to go back for a few minutes when you talked about the cat power-up. I think... Just like the music, this is my favorite power-up in any 3D Mario game.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking about how much I like the double cherry power-up, and, I mean, I like that because it changes the way you play, but as far as versatility, like, the cat power-up's like the cape. It's so cool.
Yeah, I didn't think we would have, like, a multi-use power-up in, like, a very long time, but seeing this, yeah, it's, like, the first multi-use power-up seen in Super Mario World, and I really love using it all the freaking time.
But the one thing that really held this game back from being as amazing as Andrew and Justin think it is, the idea of 3D Land and 3D World was made for stereoscopic 3D. And there have been, especially as I'm getting later into the game and trying to get, you know, hit different jumps and trying to get the green stars and everything, I'm pulling my hair out, but not because like, oh man, I messed up. This game's bullshit because looking at it in, you know, not stereoscopic 3D, it looks like I can make that jump. Oh, wait, no, I was like 10 feet away. And that happens so often where, you know, sometimes you do have the help of having the little shadow that shows up on the ground above an enemy where that helps you out. But still, I don't think that's enough, especially when you're, you know, over a pit and making a jump. Then you don't have a good way to judge where you are.
I didn't have that problem. I didn't have that problem just mostly in multiplayer.
Yeah, and that's what it makes multiplayer even more chaotic, because you just don't, when the screen gets busy, you don't know where you're going to land. And yeah. This is a game that's it's a platforming game that requires a lot of precision, and when you don't have that precision, it really really hinders it. But it really Andrew stinks. And Dustin, did you guys have this issue at all, or am I just crazy?
It might be a product of me. Like I loved 3D Land. That was a phenomenal game. But I only turned the 3D on when I had to. Whenever you had those puzzles that were like perspective puzzles and you had to have the 3D on. I've just never been a fan of the stereoscopic 3D. So maybe I've just adapted to not having it. But yeah, I mean, even on my 3DS, 99% of the time, my 3D is off. So it might be a byproduct of that. I mean, there were a couple, maybe a handful of moments that I had perspective issues where I jumped off a cliff or something. But I would say no more than... any 3D game. I mean, when you're playing 3D games, every once in a while, you do have an issue where you're like, oh, I looked at that wrong, or there's a perspective issue. But I didn't feel like it was any more than is natural for, you know, just the nature of 3D gaming.
You've just captured that perfectly. I can't really add to that. Yeah, once or twice throughout the game, I think there's one particular level, I don't even remember the name of it. I don't know what world it is in, but... there's the piranha plants over the poison lake, the snaking ones. And yeah. There's like floating platforms that sail past before they go over the edge of a cliff. There's yep. like one particular jump near the end of one of those levels, and it looks like you can make it, and I just fall short of that. But that's really the only example I can bring up from recent memory. Yeah, it's all just part and parcel of learning the tricks. And I mean, if you're familiar with 3D games, of course, as you said, it's going to happen a lot less frequently, but yeah, it's still there.
I mean, it helps indeed if you know 3D Land inside out, but when I was playing with other people, because the camera zooms so out sometimes very often, it really becomes like this draining issue of like, come on, I want to make this jump now.
Yep. And especially when you can kind of break the game a little bit by messing around as the cat, then you'll just have something where you're like, oh, I jumped and I thought I was near the... Oh, no, my man, I'm just dead.
Yeah, it's annoying.
I think the cat actually invites the notion of breaking the game. I mean, there's so many places where you're like, I bet there's something up there, and you crawl up there just
to... Yeah, sometimes you're like, oh, I just skipped part of the level. Like, there's one level in particular that I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, hey, everybody, if you're listening to this and you don't want any spoilers at all, then stop listening to this right now. All right? Nope. If you don't want to hear anything that would spoil the game, much like Nintendo did in the Nintendo Direct, which is to say that we will directly talk about some of the things that they talked in the Direct directly to you. So we're going to move on from there. And I'm going to... I did like the Japanese-themed level they had. You can use, like, the cat suit or the propeller suit to just kind of, like, hop up to the top of that level and get right to the goal and skip the second part of it.
Yes.
You know, I guess I didn't see that. I must have missed that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's because I think I was looking for, like, the third green star, and it was just something that I don't even know if I found the third green star on that level yet, but I spent so much time with it, and I realized, I'm like, oh, I can just get to the top, and I finished the level that way. And was like, I wonder where the third one is. And then I got through it and then realized that there was an entire portion of the level that I just missed.
You found a shortcut.
Yeah, but I mean, I do like stuff like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, there were a couple parts where I would kind of come to a level with a power-up that maybe the level wasn't anticipating, you know? And I would maybe skip portions, but I never felt like, oh, well, this was badly designed or whatever. I just felt like, oh, cool, I was able to skip that.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
No, I'm not saying I have no ill will at how that was set up at all. I just thought it was cool.
On a related note, that's my favorite level.
What, the Japanese one?
Yeah. The music, the style, everything.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought that was cool, especially how you're, you know, tapping to... What's the name of those doors, like the folding doors?
The sliding screen doors.
Yeah, just the sliding screen doors that, like, they're in dojos and shit or something. I don't know. But just tapping on the door on the gamepad was pretty cool.
That level's so much fun if you have someone just on the gamepad. Like, I played that level by myself, and it was fun. I played with my girlfriend, and it was a blast.
Yeah. So I guess what other levels kind of stuck out to you guys? I mean, I really love the Super Mario Kart level. I mean, the music.
Mario Kart level all the way.
Yeah. I mean, I like that one, especially because it is a bonus stage, and that's what I wish, like, every bonus stage in every game ever was just a loving fan nod.
I think even some of the sound effects during that level are tweaked to be like the original Super Nintendo Mario Kart ones. Like, when you die, it makes like the Lakitu sound, and it's cool.
And I like when you go to the little slot machine things, that's the character selection music from Super Mario Bros. 2.
Yeah, that's so good.
I mean, it's all so wonderful. I wish the jumping just didn't infuriate me sometimes.
I think one of my favorite levels is, this is a returning element from the Galaxy games, is those beat blocks. But the twist is that they use that cherry item. And it becomes so dickish, so awesome.
That was when, like, the double cherry power up, I realized how incredible it was in that stage. Like, that's when, like, I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. I'm like, oh man, this is important.
And then you go off of this very long runway with all of these blocks, and it becomes like, oh, God, oh,
the
God.
The slide at the end.
Yeah, and I think you need to bring two of them to the end to get, like, the last, the third green star or something. And I remember, like, first time I did that, I had, like, five with me, and all four of them fell off in time. And then, I just got in there with two, and I was like, I just need to focus on getting these guys to the finish.
But even at the midpoint where you have to get four of them to the stamp, it still becomes a bit tricky.
Yeah. Yeah, that was another one that I had to go back and do. I mean, I do, like, I think I will eventually get through and 100% this game, partially because of how quickly I had to play it to get through the review. Probably won't happen right away, but that's what happened to me with 3D Land as well, is that I played that game to completion. And didn't 100% it, and then went back a couple months later and relished having the time to go back and mess with that game.
Can I mention another example of a level I really loved?
Sure.
The fuzzy flatmine.
Oh, yes.
Is that the one where the fuzzies are, like, chasing after you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really cool. Were there like two levels like that? Or was there
There's one, the Kantok okay. one of what? Them, but the other one was in the Six Wolf.
Yeah.
And it becomes really frantic because at first you're like, well, it's moving up. It's totally doable. This I'm going to make. And then all of a sudden this massive range of fuzzies follow you around. And it becomes like, okay, I need to do this very fast and very secure or else I'm going to die.
I really like that level.
I never thought fuzzies could be so terrifying.
Yeah. I like that fuzzies are in this game. They were always one of my favorite enemy types. I like seeing them pop up in like the RPG games too.
Well, the Paper Mario Fox and Judo, they made a terrific cameo.
I had a real blast in those levels. I don't remember what they were called. They were the beach ones, and they were kind of non-linear. And you were just collecting the five.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was a really cool level, especially just exploring that one was a lot of fun.
Yeah, those were so much fun. I mean, it was like evoking running around the castle in Mario 64 for me. Just kind of, here's a area, just go wild.
I really wish they would make a game more in line, like Super Mario 64 again, because I love that.
But also the music in those, yeah, also the music in those beach levels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's talk about a little bit. We can't talk about where you get the secret fifth character.
Yeah.
But how do we all feel about having Rosalina as the fifth character in the game?
I think she's fucking great.
Yeah, I think it's really fun having that character back and around, and you know, like the four other characters, you know, she gives you a different element. She always has that spin attack. Yeah, I mean, she's not my main. Toad is pretty much like God in this game.
So my main in 3D World was up to I got to the point where you can get Rosalina. Was Luigi, because, hey, Year of Luigi, so why not?
In this, the Year of Luigi.
Yes, in this, the Year of Luigi. But after I got Rosalina, I just always use Rosalina now. Because because even when I'm just, like, super, I always have an attack on me, which is can be very helpful towards, like, very tricky levels towards the end.
The one thing that bugs me with Rosalina is that because she has a dress, I expect her to control, like, Princess Peach. Like, in Hover. So I've had a lot of times early on with playing with Rosalina that I'm like, oh no, she can't hover. Oh shit, I'm dead.
but that spin jump is helpful though.
Yeah, it is. No, I started using the spin jump to kind of make up for my mental deficiency. But
I think she jumps somewhere between the height of Mario and Luigi.
Yeah.
In terms, but she's the slowest runner. The one thing about the four different five different characters I really like about the game is that each character controls just that slight part differently to the rest of the cast. Whereas, like, if you're playing through, there's eventually going to be a part in the game. I mean, it's not really spoilers, but you're going to have to play through the games with each of the levels with each of the characters at one point to do everything in the game. But they control just that little bit differently to each other, and you have to sort of rethink your strategy and your 3D. Just the way you play the 3D game. Because, like, as you said, Toad's the fastest runner, but he's so crap at jumping. And you'd be, like, if you've just finished the game as Mario or Luigi or whoever, and then you go back to replay the levels, you're sort of in the mindset of controlling as that previous character. And then you're like, oh, wait, they can't do that. And you have to completely retool the way you play. And I like the diversity there.
That's what I don't like as much about playing as Mario, because I do a lot of the random stuff. But like you know, Toad, Peach, and Luigi all kind of have that ability that, like, okay, yeah, if you run fast enough, guess what? You're gonna get to the top of the flagpole if you have a spot to jump from. But with Mario, you're pretty much always boned.
Yeah, that's the kind of, because all of the other characters, including Rosalina, have like this very specific trait to them, and I feel that Mario was lacking that to some fashion.
Yeah.
Well, did anybody get to do, because this was really fun for me, was when I was doing four-player multiplayer, the random button to choose random characters at the beginning of each level.
Yes,
that's
great.
That makes it crazy. You know, all of a sudden, you're a totally different character, totally different skill set, and you've just got to adapt. So that was a lot of fun for me.
That's a nice option.
Yeah. The best part is that I don't... I don't know if any player can do it, because I was always first player, because it's my Wii U, so, you know, everyone else gets to be not first player. But if I hit random, it did it for everybody. So I was like, guess what? You guys don't get a choice. We're all doing random. Like...
We always stayed with the same characters. We never changed up, I believe.
Really? Playing it with a random really made it... It made it a lot more fun. I mean, a lot more hectic and insane, of course, but a lot more fun.
I do, but then the other players around me become really annoyed, saying, "From why did you change my character?"
I was kind of excited that they did add a second female. I mean, I guess if you count Toad as genderless, then, you know, now there's an equal number of males and females. I mean, I think Toad reproduces with spores or something, so, I mean, you know, you could count him as...
Well, speaking of Toad, there actually is another genderless Toad character. Well, I guess, yeah. I mean, if we count a Toad person as genderless, then you can also play as Captain Toad.
Yeah. Indeed you can.
What does he say? On to adventure! Or something like that, whenever you start the level. I love
time
the Captain
for, no,
Toad
no, time for adventure.
Yeah, time for adventure. I love the Captain Toad levels, though. I would love it if there was an eShop game that was just like, here's like 50 Captain Toad levels.
Yeah, I would love that, yeah.
That would be awesome.
They were surprisingly difficult. I mean, I did the first one, I was like, all right, well, this is kind of eh. And then by the end of the game, I was like, oh my god, how do I do this?
Yeah, it's so much fun. It's like all that spatial stuff. Like, it reminds me of, I mean, more in the idea of it, not like mechanics, but it reminded me of like Pushmo and Crashmo. Just that whole, like, you're looking around being like, all right, how does this work? I need to picture this in 3D and... move it around, how can I get there?
They also expanded on the mystery boxes.
Yeah. Some of those were cool. I like the ones where it's like you basically needed to like throw things to hit switches and throw the baseballs.
I like the really hectic ones where you had to defeat like enemies as fast as you could and then go on to the other room. It's like
I think the ones that I liked were the ones where you had you know, when you're, like, throwing the baseballs to hit switches and stuff like that, and also the ones where it's just, like, a time trial run. I didn't like the enemy stuff as much.
Okay.
I did like them. I felt like... It's neat, because the mystery houses were really just frantic and breakneck pace, and then you could go to a Captain Toad level, which is really slow and methodical, and, you know, it provides a nice variety of gameplay, which was what I really enjoyed.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so... let's go around, since we all four have reviews for this game, we'll go around the room and, I guess, say what your score is and, like, offer, like, a sentence or two summary to kind of explain your score. Andrew, kick us off.
All right, I'm giving it a 10 out of 10. Top score. I believe that this comes... It may not be the perfect Mario game, but it comes the closest... to being a perfect Mario game that I've played, and it encompasses every element from every game in the series that's made that particular game stand out in such a great way.
Yeah, because if you think about it, it's got, you know, it's like a follow-up to 3D Land. It kind of, you know, with the four-player stuff, it's like New Super Mario Bros. Wii and U. And then it's kind of like a follow-up to the Galaxy games in a way. Like, it really, it's carrying on a lot of legacies, and I think it really sticks the landing.
Yeah.
So, Don, how about you?
So, I'm giving the game an 8.5, possibly the lowest of the bunch here.
Oh, my God.
Whoa!
Which is still a great score, don't get me wrong. But I'm giving the score mostly because I wasn't, even after playing it, I wasn't really sure for who the game was intended, because the multiplayer seemed... too much frantic business, and playing it single player felt empty in certain spots. So I was kind of like, I was a bit confused there, but the game itself is still wonderful.
All right, so Justin, how about you?
I gave it a 10 out of 10 only because I'm not allowed to give it an 11 out of 10. I think this is the game the Wii U needs, and you know, I feel like the most indicative thing I can tell about that is a brief story. Whenever I did play four-player multiplayer, whenever we were done and my three friends were leaving my house, two of them said, yes, I'm buying this for my Wii U, and the third one said, I'm buying a Wii U to buy this for my Wii U. So I really think it's
or he buys the game and it was like, I'm gonna buy the Wii U for my game.
Yeah, the Wii U is the best Mario 3D World accessory out there. It really is. If you're only gonna get one. So I think it's a phenomenal game.
I'm giving it a 9 out of 10. And yeah, I totally agree that it's a completely amazing game. I guess just in the line of Mario games, for me, it's not top dog. And I think a lot of it has to do with, the bosses kind of let me down. I wish there were more of those platforming style bosses that were in like 3D Land, because I thought that was a really good way to work around the fact that, hey, some of these bosses are lame. So let's just have it so Bowser is chasing after you and blowing fireballs after you, and you need to complete platforming challenges. And they do have some stuff like that throughout the game, and those are some of the best boss battles when it does pop up. And then the whole jumping thing, like, that's kind of, I mean, it's not necessarily a game breaker for me, because I still highly recommend the game, and it's incredible. But I think it, you know, that whole judging depth for me makes the game a little more frustrating and a little less enjoyable, and just enough to make something that, if that jumping thing weren't an issue, or if this was a game I could play on my 3DS or something, I probably would have given it like a 9, 5, or a 10, but that's enough to kind of hold it back for me. But I do highly recommend it, and if you're on the fence about a Wii U, just watch some videos about this game, because everything that you see in it, like, it's that much fun to play, and I don't think it loses anything by just being a single-player game.
Yeah, I think there are some places where that just screams multiplayer. That's my only thing with it, really. Yeah. But, we still all love it, so hey, whatever.
Yeah.
While many of the bosses you mentioned are pretty bare-bones or standard for the Mario series, I know we can't talk about it here, but I just gotta say that end boss at the end of the game is the best one I've seen.
Look forward to the end boss of this game.
It's the best
we can't say
end
anything
boss
else.
In a Mario game.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
Like, I wish that's how every game ever ended. Cause it was
awesome. I wish it kind of did too.
Yeah. I feel like that's a good way to go on it.
Let's say this. It's a better final boss than the Galaxy games, to me, at least.
Oh, that's like basically being like, well, I took a shit, and that was a better boss than some of the Galaxy bosses.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true, though.
It was really tough shit. Yeah. But yeah, so play this game until the end, because it's awesome. And also, the final boss is incredible. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. that sounds like a good place to end. Andrew, Don, and Justin, thank you for joining me. And be sure to read all of our reviews across the interwebs.
And thank you for joining us, Neil.
Yes. And bug us all on the interwebs. Ask us questions about the game if you want. Let's do a little Twitter roll call. Andrew, are you on Twitter active at all?
I don't post on it much, but that's Koop Troopa. KOOPTROOPA.
Well, Don, you can be reached at Nintendon.
Yes.
That is at Nintendon.
I post about videos. I post about Japanese stuff. I post about things I do on the internet. It's usually a good time.
Yep. And Justin, you can be reached at?
I'm at D Frustrations. It's D as in dog.
And frustrations as in frustrations.
Yeah, as in the word.
Yes, the word, capital F, usually, depending on. And then I can be reached at NRON10, NRON10. So thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this. And if you want us to do more things like this for review games, let us know, because this is a special case, but we can do this more often if need be. So thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye. Ciao.